If you would open your Bibles to Paul's second letter to Timothy, our text this evening will be chapter 3, verses 14 until the end of the chapter, through the first five verses of chapter 4. If you would please give attention to the reading of God's holy word. For the word of the Lord is completely inerrant. The word of the Lord is completely sufficient. And the word of the Lord is completely authoritative. 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the word of God. Let's take a moment and pray for the Lord's blessing upon it. Lord, we ask this evening that as we come and as our minds are drawn in many different directions by the upcoming business, by the friends that we have met and are together with, as we gather together with folks that we have not seen in a very long time, that you would fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that as we open up your word, we would know the Lord Jesus better, that we would love him more, and that his love for us would be all the more evident. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As you have seen on the opening cover of our worship bulletin, the PCA has a motto, if you will, an unofficial motto: faithful to the scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. Our service tonight is focused upon the first portion of this motto. It is absolutely foundational that we remember to be faithful to the scriptures. But we must understand why. We should not be confused by a biblical-sounding phrase. We are not called to defend the scriptures or to faithfully protect them in our world today. No, we are called to be faithful to the scriptures because it is in the scriptures that we find life and hope. The scriptures are foundational to all that we do and to who we are, because in them, the true and living God speaks to us. Without the Bible, we do not hear God. The Bible tells us who God is, who we are, and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So this evening, as we think about this crucial passage from the Apostle Paul, we need to see the blessings of the Bible. We need to understand that the Bible is foundation of our salvation. The Bible is the foundation of our Christian life. And the Bible is the foundation of our ministry. Let's begin by looking at verse 14 in chapter 3 and see how the Bible is the foundation of our salvation. Paul begins by describing a fundamental difference between Timothy and, more broadly, Christians and those who do not profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a fundamental difference between Christians and unbelievers. And the context of our passage here this evening is how Timothy will see people who live lives of selfishness, who harm others, how their lives go from bad to worse in verse 13. But Paul says, "But as for you, Timothy, you are different." Now, we might expect Paul here to describe Timothy's behavior or his morality. But the fundamental difference with Timothy is not in Timothy's actions. It is in what Timothy knows and what he has believed. That is what makes all the difference. When you came here tonight, what did you think was the fundamental difference between the gathered church here and the world outside? If you started by describing behavior, stop and listen to Paul. As for you, you have learned from the Bible. Timothy has been changed by the truth. He has been a disciple. He has learned. That's what Paul means when he says, you have learned these things. You have studied them. They have been your course of knowledge. But more than that, Paul says that Timothy has firmly believed. He has become convinced. It is not something that is just a fact that he is aware of. He has been given the truth in the scriptures, and he has taken them on as his own profession of the truth. It is not a generic truth that Timothy knows, but it is the sacred writings. Notice also that Paul highlights for us who taught Timothy the scriptures and how this makes a difference. I think there is easy application for you and for me in this, that we are called not just to learn the scriptures, but we are to teach the scriptures. The scriptures are not just the foundation for our salvation, but they are the foundation for the salvation of others. Now, it may surprise you that with a surname like Greco, I am not a fifth generation Scottish Presbyterian. I can, however, confess to my joy and thankfulness that three generations of Grecos are in this room this evening at General Assembly, to the praise of the Lord our God. Now, Paul doesn't leave us to guess what the scriptures do and how they affect us. Paul says that the scriptures, the sacred writings, teach, and they teach with a purpose. There is an end to the scriptures, and that end is salvation. The scriptures make us wise for salvation. Now, how can the scriptures give us salvation? Is it through some miraculous property of your Bibles? Is there some hidden knowledge locked away in the Bible that you can use as a secret? So often in our society and in our culture, we're looking for that secret. We want to buy that book that will be the secret to weight loss with no effort. Or the secret to not knowing anything about money, but investing and saving $1 million easily. That's not how the scriptures work. No, the scriptures introduce us and bring us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures work faith in us. You see how Paul says that? You have the scriptures to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When Paul uses that phrase, it's shockingly similar to the word that he used before to say that Timothy was firmly convinced. Timothy has been firmly convinced that Jesus is the Savior. He has faith in Christ. Now, what is this faith? It is the work of the Spirit of God through the Word of God in the life of the believer. Paul puts it this way in Romans 10. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The Word convinces the sinner of his sin and misery, his complete inability to save himself, and the promise of the gospel that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That is what it means to be made wise by the Scriptures. Elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul speaks of a veil that comes over the eyes of the unbeliever. But when the truth of God's Word comes to us in Christ, that veil is taken away. And this is more than an intellectual experience. It is the Word bringing new life. Paul experienced that on the road to Damascus. Peter describes it this way: since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Do you know this blessing of the Bible? If you are here tonight and know Jesus Christ by faith, it is because God has spoken to you in His Word. The Scriptures are the foundation of your salvation. Don't just know this. Celebrate it. The hope of the next generation is not the economy or education or in the laws that we pass. It is in the Bible. The Bible that will make them wise for salvation in Christ. Now, how can this be true? Why should we stake our future, our families, our salvation on a book? Well, Paul then begins to describe how the Scriptures are the foundation of our Christian life. Now, there are books that make an impact on people. There are books that cause revolutions, direct societies, create cultural movements. But no book is like the book, the Bible. Paul tells Timothy that the Bible, all of the Bible, comes from God Himself. The nature of the Bible is such that it not only brings us to Christ, but it is the foundation of our life in Christ. Paul uses this wonderful and unique word to describe the Bible: breathed out by God. One Greek word, well translated here by our translation. This is an unusual word in the Greek. It's a rare word because it only applies to the Bible. And this word is the word that we often translate inspired and get our doctrine of inspiration from. That's a perfectly good translation. But I want to focus less on the character of the Scriptures this evening than on their source. The Scriptures are unique and foundational to our life in Christ because they come from God. And so we testify with Paul that all of the Scriptures, every part, from Genesis to the Psalms, from Isaiah to Matthew, from Acts to Revelation, all come from God. Nothing in the Scriptures has its origin with the will of men. There is no cultural expression. There is no outdated statement that we must cast aside. God has spoken to us in His Word. You may have heard the saying or seen it on a bumper sticker: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's not true. God said it, that settles it. It comes from God Himself. And God has not left us to figure out on our own how to live. You know, I'm old enough to remember that when you bought products, they came with an instruction manual. I think Apple has done its best to completely kill the concept of the instruction manual. You get some new device and you have to play with it and watch YouTube videos and get advice on how to actually use it. I would rather have a manual that tells me what to do, what will happen if I don't do a certain thing, etc. And God has not left us to figure out life. He's given to us the scriptures. Do you see how blessed you are? The great God of the universe has made the effort to speak directly to you. He knows your needs, your fears, and your hopes. And as your Father, He comes to you with His Word. And so this nature of the Bible makes it profitable, Paul says, or useful, helpful. One commentator puts it this way, because Scripture comes from God, it is therefore true. And because it is true, it is therefore profitable. The nature of the Scriptures proves its usefulness to you. It comes from a good God to us for our good. That is why Paul links his description of the Scriptures as both God-breathed and profitable. And he gives us four specific uses of the Scriptures in two pairs. He says that the Scriptures are profitable for teaching, for instruction, so that we can know about the world around us, about ourselves, about our own sin, about our God, about His will, about how we can follow Him, about how we can praise Him and honor Him and worship Him. Paul tells us that the Scriptures are profitable for reproof. When we're wandering off the way, when we're going into an area of grave danger, the Scriptures warn us to stop and to come back to God. The Scriptures are profitable for correction, for gently guiding us through life, teaching us how to treat our spouses, how to treat our children, how to treat our employees and our employers, how to think about questions of a civil magistrate. How to think about the church. The Bible corrects our thinking so that we might, if I can use a phrase, think God's thoughts after Him. And finally, Paul says that the Scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we all need training in righteousness. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us are being moved in the direction of the image of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit through the work of the Scriptures so that we can be more and more like our Savior. The Bible is the foundation for who we are to be, that we might be competent, and for what we are to do. Every good work. Well, we have seen that the Scriptures are the foundation of our salvation and the foundation of our Christian life. But we should not forget that we are gathered here this evening for the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America. And so this is now a unique time to think about the church and its mission and its ministry. And so Paul gives us one final blessing of the Bible to consider, that it is the foundation of our ministry. And so he begins in chapter 4 with a serious charge. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Now there is no way for us to miss the importance of what Paul is saying here. Remember that in the background to this statement is almost 30 years of Paul's ministry. He knows exactly what the lost need. He knows exactly what builds churches. And he knows exactly how to be effective in ministry. It is the Scriptures. The gravity of his charge is seen in his invoking of the coming judgment, of the return of Jesus Christ, and the establishment of his true and eternal kingdom. Now, with all that before us, we might ask, what is the foundation of our ministry, Paul? Perhaps you can give us some insight into why there is resistance amongst the Jews. Perhaps you can give us an insight into Roman culture. Or tell us what would be most attractive to seekers. None of that. His call is simple and direct. Preach the word. It's emphatic. Be a herald. Announce the good news. And not your own formulation, not your own design, but the word. Paul is very clear. It is the word of God that is our message, our mission, and our ministry. The Bible is indispensable to our ministry. There is no wrong time for the Bible. You see what Paul says in verse 2? Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. When it is easy, preach the Bible. When it is hard, preach the Bible. When the time is appropriate or not appropriate, preach the Bible. The Bible is to be the foundation of our ministry under all circumstances, and that includes right now. And so it should not surprise us that Paul says this, because the Bible is supremely relevant. Paul is just saying what he has always done. He has seen the scriptures turn the world upside down. Do you want to see the church grow? Preach the Bible. Do you want to see God glorified in the world? Preach the Bible. Are you concerned for the lost? Preach the Bible. Well, what should the Bible achieve? Paul gives us a threefold list that is reminiscent of his statement in verse 16 of chapter 3. He says that the Bible reproves or corrects. The Bible provides pastoral wisdom and preaching that helps people stay on the path of wisdom and holiness. The Bible rebukes. It doesn't just guide us. It sternly warns those who need to repent. The Bible encourages. It nurtures and comforts God's people when they need it most. And so if we ask the question, is the Bible enough for ministry? The resounding answer is yes. We are to preach the Bible, Paul says, with all patience and long-suffering. We may not see immediate results from preaching the Bible. But we don't grow weary. We don't give up. We don't change to a new tactic. We have patience with long suffering. We interact with those who hear the Bible the way our Lord has modeled for us, suffering long with those who reject His word, who do not believe His word, who need to be told over and over again of their need for a Savior, who need to be told over and over again that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We never give up. We unfold and explain the scriptures with all teaching, Paul says, toiling and laboring to make them clear to all and to bring the demands of the scriptures to bear on our people and ourselves. In verse 3, Paul reminds us that we will face resistance to the Bible, but we are to carry on. You know, I often wonder if, as Paul is writing this section of chapter 4, if he had an insight or a time machine to see our day and age. Because he describes our day and age. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers for their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into the myths. That sounds like something ripped from our headlines. But the truth is, that is human nature. That is our age. But it was Paul's age as well. and it will be the age of the generations to follow after us. There will always be those who will stop up their ears. They won't endure the word and its teaching. They will heap up false teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. But Paul tells us we are to trust the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, I have no doubt that you face problems in your churches, your communities, and your families. But don't give up. Stay faithful to the scriptures. Because it is in the scriptures that you will find salvation, guidance for life, and hope for your ministry. Paul tells you that troubles will come. He knew that very well. But he says, be sober-minded. Keep your head about you. Remember the most important principles. God has spoken in His Word. His Word is the truth. And the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh dear Son, Holy Spirit, we come to you this evening and we pray that you would impress your word upon our hearts. That as we study your word, as we contemplate your word, that we would know your care for us. That we would know our true hope is found in you, Lord. That we would know the foundation of our salvation, our life in Christ, and our ministry in this world is your holy scriptures, the very word of God. Lord, keep us faithful to the scriptures. Never let us wander. This we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.